This is the Night Owls Disc Golf Podcast. Once again, I'm Shane.
I'm JP.
And you can tell we're rusty, or I'm rusty. How about that? So we're back, JP.
We are back.
We are back. I don't have any funny or exciting things to say.
Yeah.
Other than just let's get back to it. So we were, well, how long was it? 4 months? 5 months? Half a year? 6 months?
January?
January, yeah. So yeah, January was our last episode.
Yeah.
So we went strong for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then life happened.
Life happened.
To everybody. So multitude of things, but I think primarily on my end, it was a bouncing baby boy. January 29th, we had one. And I've kind of lost all of my time. Not lost.
Surprising.
Yeah. The child gained it. So we are kind of in the process of relearning. And I'll tell you what, when you're middle-aged and have a new child, I don't know if we forget how hard it was or if it's just how old we are that makes it so much more apparent how much work they are, how much work children are.
Right.
Babies, anyways.
Babies.
So, yeah, that was kind of my exciting and eventful times. And in the meantime, I'd done a couple podcasts with Bobby Brown, the Disc Golf Answer Man, and then, or Cool Daddy Slick Breeze, I think he's going by now. And then he started a new job at Shields. So that ended, and I was like starting to get a complex. Like, is it me? Are all these podcasts stopping because of me? So yeah, it is what it is. So we are back. I called you the other day, and I was like, let's give this another try. And neither of us have actually even been paying attention to disc golf for the most part. I mean, a little bit, like the big stuff.
Yeah. I guess, it took a major disc golf milestone to bring us back.
Right. Yep. And we're glad to talk about it because it wasn't the person that we were not hoping for. So I called and said, hey, let's start talking. And then I just said, I missed our buddy time. And then, figured if we did our Monday episodes like we used to have.
Yeah.
And then maybe throw some disc golf in there. And I think that'll be probably about the new format.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Right.
Or you may not hear from us for another 5 months.
You never know.
Yeah.
Here's what I will say about the situation. It's kind of my fault.
It's not you. It's me.
Yeah. I just got kind of burnt out of the whole podcasting. Disc golf took like, because it takes a lot, kind of a lot. Not gonna lie, like you talk about stuff all the time, like constantly checking information, social media, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got burnt out.
Well, and not to mention you were doing majority of the editing, you know, aside from Ben when he was doing his portion.
Yeah. So yeah, I just kind of took it, and I am gone on like a complete disc golf detox.
Mm-hmm.
I just shut off everything, like no DGPT, like no vlogs. I listened to like one podcast. That's it. I stopped listening to a bunch of like disc golf podcasts. I've only bought 2 discs.
Really? Yeah. What were they though?
The Eagle Rebirth.
Okay.
Envies. I bought those and I haven't thrown them yet.
Yeah.
I really like, weather's just starting to get nice. Like I've been meaning to, but like, I'm just running around, like getting kids to like every other sporting thing they have.
Man, dad life is real
going on right now. So I thought about it the other day. I was like, ooh, I kind of had some time, but then I'm like, do I really have time, you know, exactly. Like to like get out and enjoy stuff?
Do you look over at your wife and be like, am I missing something? Like, I know I have to be somewhere. I have to.
Constantly. Yeah. Like we have a calendar and on the fridge and the calendar, like the sheet is gone for like coming up. We're like, what's coming up? Like, what are we missing? What's going on? Like,
yeah.
We know we have stuff going on.
What child is being left where?
Yeah. So that's been exciting. I mean, I get on Instagram, you know, like through for the podcast here and there. Like, I don't post anything, but I look at stuff and I like things occasionally or may make a comment or something. But yeah, like disc golf took a real, real big backseat. And same thing with, I I didn't renew my PDGA number. Like, I don't plan on playing any tournaments anytime soon. But it's funny because every month I get a reminder, hey, come back. Please renew your number. We need your money. I'm like, not right now.
Well, and they lost the Rona spike, you know, and they're trying to figure out, like, after all the huge staff increase and all that stuff, they're probably trying to figure out what they're going to do to pay all these people.
Right.
If they're going to keep them on staff. And, you know, I'm sure they're not hurting, though. They got huge coffers, as we know.
Yeah. They're like, oh, man, we shouldn't have brought on Stat Mando.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't they buy them, right? Yeah. Is that how it was? Yeah.
Man, it'll work out for them.
Oh, yeah, it sure will. It sure will. And it's, they're the only game in town. So,
right.
I mean, at one point or another, everything has to come back to them anyway. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's, they got that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of, you know, same thing. I went through, I don't know, mentally, I just like it seemed like a chore for a little while.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Mm-hmm. And it was hard. And it was just one of those things that I was just like, man, I would wake up and I would still want to play, but I wouldn't want to talk about it. Didn't want to like go into the shop. Didn't want to like all these things. And then with everything else, it just seemed like everything else was just one more task on that task list you had to check off, you know? So it was actually really nice to kind of step away for a little bit. But it was also really nice. One of the things that it kind of drew me back a bit was being reached out to. Cause so I don't have any access to the Instagram, which is kind of our primary mode of communication. Even with that, still had, I don't know, I'd probably say a handful, 5-6 people reach out and be like, hey, you guys, like, I miss you guys. Like, where are you guys at? Like, you know, and I was like, well, that kind of made me feel good, you know, like maybe we're at least if it was, you know, 10 people, you know. So it was kind of nice to see that, you know, and you get an email every once in a while into the shop being like, hey, you guys coming back, you know. So it was pretty nice to see that. So it was, it played on my ego. So it like strokes it a little bit. And I was like, all right, well, you know, maybe we were doing something pretty cool. Because sometimes it feels, because we don't have a very close relationship with the audience that we had. So you don't know if you were doing good and doing bad. All we do is see these rubrics of these numbers.
Yeah, right. Like, it's not like we're on YouTube going live and interacting with people on a podcast like other podcasts are doing. So we really have no idea. Like, we know people. Yeah, we know people are listening.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, yeah. And we've asked for people to chime in here and there, like write us or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. 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 So that interaction just... It's nice to get that, especially when you see like, hey, we miss you. Or, hey, I just discovered it. Now you guys aren't doing it anymore. And you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like I put like on Instagram the other day, we're coming back soon. And someone's like, you promise? Yeah. It's like, yeah. This time we're like, yeah, we're coming back. Like,
really. Promise.
Yeah.
If we decide to end it, we'll do a farewell episode.
Yeah.
That's our agreement.
Yeah.
That's what we'll do. If we decide to end it, we'll do a farewell. And in our absence, there's at least 55 more disc golf podcasts. At least, because when we started, there were 10? Is that what it was? Or 10 or 12?
Something like that. I don't even know.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot. It wasn't a lot at all.
No.
And then over the 2 years, obviously, they became like probably 40.
Yeah.
Now it's just another like genre in itself. There's probably at least 100.
Yeah, I'm curious how long or how many of those have stuck around as well.
True.
I don't know, you know. It's funny. Well, I was looking at numbers. I was like, wow, we've still maintained like all these people following us for like the podcast. And I was like, that's pretty awesome. Like, I don't know how many like episodes people are listening to. There was actually a spike like within the past couple of days up to like
20 some people catch it back up and
something. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Maybe like with like people like saying that we're coming back, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go back and listen, get familiar, maybe something like that.
I don't know. See if it's worth listening to or not.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we appreciate that. I think that's, that speaks volumes to me anyways, you know, so we appreciate it. Like, tell your friends. we're not in this for nothing. It's just for us to BS about disc golf. I mean, sure. We love entertaining you guys, but hold on. Don't get me wrong. If someone wants to pay us to do this, I'd be okay with it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Right. I'm not going to turn it down if like, well, that was another weird thing about the Spotify thing. Like when they're like, oh yeah, we have to like have you do something for like monetization, but I'm like, all right, we're not monetized. So I don't know like what the deal is. But,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. So with the other one, the Prodigal Warriors that I do with a good friend of mine, it's the same thing. They had to set up all these different, I'm just like, that's not the purpose of what we're doing. It's just like, we chat, we're like, a country away from each other.
Yeah.
And we just chat and BS, and it's something that we just want to record because we feel like it would be valuable for some people. And then they're like, oh, monetize it up. Just like, no. Like, you know, first of all, who wants to hear, you know, like who really wants to pay for something like that? Mm-hmm. And second of all, like, it was just one of those like funsies, like, let's try it. And
yeah,
I feel the same way about this. I mean, we have a lot better following than that one, but it's just one of those, like, I don't think we ever intended it to be a moneymaker.
No.
Like, I think we hoped we'd get the $200 and some back for our pod tracker, but that was it. So, well, should we just get into some disc golf real quick then?
Yeah.
So, in our hiatus, one of the most recent things that came up is Kristen Tatar, 1,000 rated.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
Amazing. If we were really, really good at editing, we'd go back, and I think both you and I agreed that she would be the next 1,000 rated.
Yeah, right.
Even while Paige Pierce was like, was she 4 points away?
Yeah, 996, 997, something like that. And just looking at her today, like we were just on our phones minutes ago. Now she's down to 958. And I mean, she did have the leg injury. Mm-hmm. Played a part into it, I'm sure.
Right.
But it's just like, whoa.
But I think she was even down to in the 70s by the time that happened, or maybe even the 60s.
Yeah, that's possible.
Speculation, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But everybody was riding so high and she'll be the first 1,000 rated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we might have been the only podcast that was like, nah. Like, or hope, we hope not. Or at least I was. How about that? I'll speak for myself. I didn't really like... There's no qualms about what I've said in the past about Paige Pierce. I think the game is better with her in it. It doesn't mean I gotta like her.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's not that I don't like her. It's just that she's just that... I've said this a lot of times. She's just that person I don't want to root for. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know why. But if she does well, I'm super happy for her too, but not really. In the background. You know, it's like that person you see at a party and you're like, what's up? You turn around like, what an anus, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's that guy again. But yeah, she never made it. But Kristen Tatar, on the other hand, what's not to like? Like, she seems like a super down to earth, super well rounded, like, every interview I've ever heard of her and like any interaction she has, like with Jonathan,
yeah,
you know, from L64, like just so likable. So likable.
Crazy. Cause like it didn't happen. Like it happened while we were gone. Like all the sponsorships she got, like she's got like the Porsche sponsorship. She's got like a ton of like things within her country. Nike
Europe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It's crazy. Many accolades. She was like a Estonian woman, Sportsman of the Year, whatever that award was. Mm-hmm. And like, she is a true celebrity in Estonia. Like, awesome. Awesome. And some of this publicity she's getting and she's giving disc golf, it's unparalleled, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that dealership, that Porsche dealership, like, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Even though it's just the dealership, like,
yeah,
that's really cool.
It is.
So one of those things that when Bobby and I were doing some, we talked about, because she reached out, she put out a little tweet. I don't know if you saw this or a mess. It was a post somewhere. I don't remember what it was.
But
are there any Porsche dealers? Does anybody know any Porsche dealers in the United States?
Oh.
Because I guess when she was coming over, she was hoping to like,
yeah,
you know, stay in a Porsche.
Okay. Like, and they're like, who the heck are you?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They're like, I can't be riding around these Lexuses. Like, we got to get in the Porsche still. You know, so Yeah, she went. I don't know if anything ever came of that. I didn't really follow up on it.
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting because I thought it was Porsche at first that sponsored her.
That's what I thought.
But it's too. a dealership. It's a Porsche dealership.
In Estonia. In Estonia, yeah.
Which is still pretty darn awesome.
Like the biggest dealership there is there.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it's Porsche. Like,
yeah.
Well, hold on. Am I offending anybody? Am Porsche. I not saying Porsche?
Yeah, I don't know.
So let's get back to the disc golf portion of it. Like, that's awesome. 1,000 rated. And she is Miss Consistency. I mean, she had, like, did she ever finish off the podium that one year or last year? Maybe once she finished off the podium.
She was top three at least every
trip. I thought it maybe was. They finished on the podium. Yeah. And then this year isn't as big as that last year, but she's still in contention in everything she plays. But she's spending a lot more time in Europe because of the tour over there. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see her come back. And, you know, as far as a favorite to win worlds and absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, she's the one. So. Well,
and to be like so close and for like a long time, like we kind of like, you knew like it was going to be inevitable that she would get there, mm-hmm. but the rating she had to have above her rating to get there, like you have to be shooting really good golf.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think she was averaging, she was well over 1,000, I think like 1,020 or something like that for a while. There was a couple of tournaments where she was like killing it. I mean, and that's like the elusive 1,000 rated. And once again, recap, I've been playing this game for a really, really long time. I have never hit, I've never hit 1,000 rated.
Okay.
998, I think, was the closest I ever hit.
Wow.
And I'm like, I'm one of those guys that I don't play, well, I can't say I do still do that, but while I was in my prime, like I didn't play outside of like a 20 point gap. Like,
yeah.
I was in that 940 to 960 range. Like mm-hmm. I was super, super consistent. If I did go off or went, like it would always go a little above.
Sure.
But it was like 998 was one of my best rounds. Never broke 1,000. She's averaging well over that. Like she's good.
Yeah.
She's good. But she can putt though. So that's a big thing. I throw my disc in a basket, but I don't know if it ever goes in when I want it to.
Man.
Yeah. So good for her. You know, I don't think, once again, I don't think there's a better person, personality-wise, that can, and also handle it, too. Like, handle it with grace and, you know, handle it with the way that a true champion would, mm-hmm. you know. And I think she's doing such a great job at it. And I can't imagine the royalty she's getting from 1,000 rated discs that they're selling right now.
So, really, you know, I was looking at the artwork of them.
Not great.
Yeah, I didn't think there's, I mean, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's cool. Like, it's on a, you know, it's a grace.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's really.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, she's got the flowers or, like, someone's, like, it reminds me, like, do you ever see the movie Midsommar?
No.
Okay. It's, like, it's kind of like a weird psychological horror movie. Like, mm-hmm. it takes place in Sweden during Midsommar.
Yeah, okay.
And so, like, they wear like flower crowns and like it's kind of, you know, like Mayfest kind of
deal with
Ed Al's and all that.
Yeah,
that's kind of what reminds me, or like being part of the forest. Like I don't know, it's kind of a like.
Is it like Moana, like the island?
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly That's kind of what reminds me. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it too.
All right.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's cool. I'm sure she'll sell a lot of them because it's.
Oh, it's well, it's Kristen Tatar.
Yeah.
It's Kristen Tatar.
And it's better than a black Dark Horse disc for 1,000 ratings.
Yes. But ratings don't matter.
JP. Oh, yeah.
Ratings don't matter. I think he can resell one because I think he's below 1,000 rated right now. So he might be able to come back above
reissue.
It.
Reissue?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I hit 1,000 again.
Yeah.
We're going to do it.
Like, yeah.
Flat is he back. Really?
No, I think he's like 1,009 or something like that right now, or 1,008. Oh, now I'm going to have to look it up. We got to pick, like, you know, everybody knows I'm a Brody Smith fanboy, but I still got to pick on him.
It was earlier in this season. Somebody's like, they're pointing out all his, you know, standings after
2012.
Okay. And they're like, he peaked at one point at like 100. Like, he finished at 100. Like, oh man, so close. Or like, he just missed out of cash. I'm like, he's peaking too soon.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's that. So, yeah. So, 107th, 52nd, 97, 87, 42, 60. He just recently said that he's feeling better. Like, he's feeling better about playing. He's starting to like the game because he...
Oh, yeah.
Outwardly came out on the podcast.
He did, yeah.
And said on him and Yuli's podcast, what, Tour Life?
Tour Life.
And said that he didn't like disc golf. Like, he was just wasn't having fun with it anymore.
Yeah.
And everybody, like, kind of went off on him, like, yeah, we knew that was going to happen. And he had to come back and defend himself.
Right.
And now, right. like, every podcast, he's kind of given an update, almost a little, like, plug-in. And maybe it was two podcasts ago, three podcasts ago. I don't know. I can't figure out, or I can't kind of keep up with it. But he had said that he's actually enjoying the game. He's kind of getting back in the swing of things. He's been practicing more. He's been hanging out.
Well, I'm kind of curious. Like, obviously, they moved. Mm-hmm. Moved back to Texas. His wife was a Raiderette. Still mm-hmm. is. So, like, I'm curious.
Well, was.
No, I think she re-upped a contract.
Yeah. So, they moved back. They weren't going to renew. And then... went back and
yeah.
now they are.
And yeah. Well, and he's busy opening sports cards and
the sports card thing came out of nowhere.
Yeah, kind of.
It could, like, they just, like, I don't know. I remember seeing it, like, I don't know, like 6 months ago or something, like doing an opening with Kelsey.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is strange. And now he's like heavy into it.
Yeah. Cause like he talked about it one time on Tour Life as well. He's like, oh yeah, I've gotten into opening cards. And he's like, I'm big into it now. I was like, oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, to each their own. I like it pops up from here every once in a while, like on my TikTok, people buying like $1,000 boxes.
Yes.
And just losing a ton of money.
It is nuts.
On like the cards that, or they make a ton of money on the cards they get.
Right.
Like the highs and lows of that are ridiculous.
Well, and that's, I can't believe that. I remember, and it was junk wax, I guess they call it. But I remember back in the day when we were kids, like you could buy a whole box at Kmart or Walmart for like $8.
Yeah.
And it was a whole, like, what, 36 packs?
Or yeah, whatever, absolutely.
So I remember the tops, they were like the red and black. Like they had the red card and they had the black paint speckles on them.
Yeah.
Was that tops?
Upper Deck tops. Maybe? Or, yeah. I don't know.
I don't remember. But I remember buying boxes and boxes, like cases, not just like, not a pack. I was buying like the full display yeah. boxes. And it was like $9, like $10.
No, it's like 500.
Yeah, it's like, so we were, my son, like, oh, I want to buy these cards. So we buy these college prospect for NFL. And there's like six packs, like eight cards in a pack. And it was like $80-something.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, buddy, do you really want to buy that? You know, he'd been saving up his money yeah. and stuff. And I was like, buddy, do you really want to buy that? Yeah, I really, really want to buy it. And I was like, do you even know who these guys are? He goes, no. And I go, are you sure it's a smart choice? And he goes, but what if I have that rookie? And I'm just like, yeah, you've been watching YouTube too much. You know? It's like you're hoping for that one in like 100,000 mark. So, yeah. So I wonder if, who was the one that did the cards for disc golf?
Oh, there's a couple. Brixton was one of them.
Brixton, I think.
And then Mike Harrington would know.
Yeah.
Because there's Brixton came out with some, but then there's like another company that does the actual like pro tour sets, and I don't know who does those.
Because didn't what's his futz from Maple Hill, Doom Dodge, didn't he do sets for a while?
Oh, maybe.
Like he made his own sets for a while.
That could have been.
Because I think that was the first couple, maybe, I don't know. Because yeah. I know he's a big like card guru and like mm-hmm. those type of things, like board games and stuff.
Yeah. But, yeah.
So yeah, I'll have to ask Mike about that.
Yeah. So, I'm not sure.
Yeah. But I wonder if they're going to do a special card for Kirsten Tatar next year.
That would be
sought after.
Yeah.
I might actually buy some boxes for that.
Yeah.
Cause I know Mike would be all over it too.
Oh my God. Yeah. If it was like a piece of a disc or one of like a jersey or
yes.
something to commemorate it.
Yeah.
That'd be absolutely awesome.
What would they do? What would they do for disc golf?
What do you
mean? Would they take like her shirt or something? Or like, I wonder what they would do. What would be the most? Because, you know, like game worn jerseys, but I don't know. It seems.
She wears skirts. Game
worn. Yeah. Game worn skirts. Yeah. Just yeah. cut the skirt up. Get a little piece of the skirt.
Yeah.
Does that seem weird? It seems kind of sexist. Does it seem dirty? I don't know. It seems weird to me. Like a jersey, for some reason, I don't think anything, but then like a woman's skirt, you're like, I don't know why. It just seems weird.
Yeah, it does.
Maybe I'm just thinking too hard about it.
But I think of like, yeah, because like, well, I mean, I'm sure they go through so many shirts and everything.
Right.
Who knows? But it'd be cool, like, if it was from whatever tournament that determined her becoming 1,000 rated.
Sure,
like, sure. It's like, okay, this rating is up, say, you wore this, and then, like, they took a piece of that, like, pieces of that one.
That's not a bad idea. Maybe the game, the towels that she uses to wipe her discs off.
That could be. But then maybe she's like, no, it's too sentimental. I want to keep that stuff.
True that.
Like, it's hard, yeah.
True that. And how'd you like to be Brixton to be like, hey, can I buy some of your clothes? Like, yeah. Like, wouldn't that be weird?
That's what OnlyFans is for.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I was just going to say that. That's beautiful. Hmm. Is OnlyFans still a thing? Like, it's still, like, the thing?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Maybe.
Don't act like you don't. Come on. I just, I'm like, yeah, sure you do, JP. Yeah.
Well, anyway, so we were looking at ratings before. Mm-hmm. Keeping on the 1,000 rated train. Who do you think, like, obviously it took this long to get to 1,000 rated, like mm-hmm. 30 years of disc golf.
Mm-hmm.
We know some people are like kind of not real close, but could within striking distance within the next couple of seasons
mm-hmm.
get there. Who do we think?
Okay. I will make an argument for Holland Handley.
Okay.
And here's my reasoning. I think Holland Handley could very well be one of the next, if not the next one. And here's my reasoning for 1,000 rated. Simply because she didn't start too long ago. So she doesn't have that huge history to make sure that her PDGA ratings are kind of held back. Like Tatar and Pierce, they were hindered by the amount of tournaments and the longevity of their play.
Okay.
And I know that the system only works off like the most 10 most recent or whatever. And I know they've done some changes since we've been on hiatus this year for 2024. But I would say Holland Handley is one. Or, I mean, Ohmskoggins is amazingly consistent, but I don't think she's 1,000 plus rated consistent.
Yeah. I mean, she did, like, have one of the highest rounds of disc golf this year.
What was it at?
It was high.
Was it like a 1040s, wasn't it? Like 1043 or something like that? Okay. Yes. Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong with her. I just feel like she doesn't have the distance to carry in order to do it.
Okay.
But I'll make the case for Holland Handley. Ohmskoggins, she is this, for those of you that don't know, she is the second highest rated, because ratings don't matter, but we're going to talk about him anyway.
Right.
Second highest rated female in the game right now. And she's at a 983. So she's like 17 points away from 1,000 rated. I think something
like that.
Nearish there. And she's super, super consistent. She doesn't make a lot of mistakes when she plays. I think her hindrance is distance. She just can't keep up with the top throwers.
Right. That's pretty much it.
Holland Handley is, I think, fifth or sixth in the rankings right now. She's at 973, 75, somewhere around there. And I believe that she has the distance. I think she needs to clean up her putting game. And that's really the big hindrance she has. Her upshot has gotten better. I think it's actually surpassed her putting game now. And distance has never been an issue. Accuracy, maybe, but when you throw 400 plus feet as a female, like, you can survive with a little less accuracy.
1055 was Owens.
1055. Wow.
At Open at Austin.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and then she had a 1042 final round.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she averaged, what was her third round, second round?
Her second round was 1055. Her first round was 990.
Oh geez, that's great. So she's averaging what, a 930 something or a 1030 something for the weekend? That's huge.
That's ridiculous.
All right.
Yeah. So I mean, within the realm of possibility. No. I feel like there's, who knows how long she's going to stick around and play. Oh, it doesn't matter though. Because
she's Masters age right now.
Like, she does play Masters every once in a while.
Yep. But even that might actually help her ratings.
Right.
Bumping up to Masters.
That could.
So there's a very good possibility.
It's like her and Jen Allen play there.
Sarah Hokum every once in a while. Yeah. And then, why can't I think of her name? Anyways, so who do you think?
I feel like I like Holland. Kat Murch has a good chance, I think, of kind of getting there if she can stay more consistent. Mm-hmm. Like every once in a while, she'll pop up and be like, oh yeah, like remind you, like she's good. Like, you know, she's good, but like, she has rounds where you're like, oh yeah, that's really good. Mm-hmm. Like this past weekend, she was in the lead.
Where's her weak point? Is it consistency?
Yeah, like she's got distance. Mm-hmm. I feel like
she's got a forehand, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. But like every once in a while, like you'll see her and she's like top five, and then she'll slip to like 15 down in that range. And you're like, what?
Is it not a mental thing?
Yeah, kind of.
Maybe there's not enough frogs on whatever course she's playing on, and it just like throws her off.
Yeah.
She doesn't have the distractions.
I feel like Missy could get there at some point because she's like 980 something as well.
And she's got distance. She's a great putt.
Yeah.
I don't think she has a forehand though, right? Or maybe she's working on
serviceable.
One. Sure. Okay.
I think.
Because I think the female game is starting to morph quite a bit in that regard and having to have a forehand before. Yeah. Not really with a lot of ways that things were laid out, but I think they're starting to push that.
Ella has the same thing going for her as Holland, like being pretty new to the game. And maybe like Amanda Hano. I don't know. Sayananda. Maybe Sai. She's young enough too. Like she's...
Because what's she like 9th or 10th in the rankings right now? Maybe above 10, but...
Let's see.
But she seems like she could end up... Looking into those top.
You know who's the young girl, Ellie Ezra. I feel like she, for what she's doing now, could probably get there at some point if she sticks with it long enough.
And she kind of, what was it, last year she kind of popped onto the scene a little bit. And then this year she's staying pretty consistent in it. Well, she's 17.
Yeah.
She's pretty young,
She's pretty young,
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I think she has a possibility. Do you think that she's the next one though, or do you think she just will be one that does?
No, probably not the next one, but somebody that can.
Okay.
Yeah,
I could see that. So now we have left Evelina off,
And she's having a good year.
Yeah, and still, I don't know what's with her putting game.
Yeah,
still, but. What do you think? You think she has the...
I mean, she's piecing things together this year. Obviously, she's got 3 wins.
And the putting is not as... Like, when I say it's... Like, it's not bad. Like, before I would have been like, ugh. But now it's not that bad. We're not seeing, like, grip locks to the right.
No.
10 feet away.
It's not 5 putting a hole or anything like that. I don't know. Her and Henna kind of miff me sometimes. Like, they're good, but I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. And Henna's one that I just don't understand. Like, she's so good. But where is she? Why is she never up? I mean, not never, but why is she not more consistently up there? Like,
yeah.
I feel like she's really, really good. But it just never seems like she can put her game together all the way. Consistently... Weekend after weekend, you know, like she'll all of a sudden like pop off and then she's like 30 something.
Yeah.
You know,
I know that's kind of disappointing.
But, you know, are they staying in the US while the tour is going on in Europe right now, aren't they? Or are they over in Europe too?
Let's see.
I thought Evelina was here.
No, I'm pretty sure Evelina just won one of the European events, DGPT Europe.
You're right. You're right.
Hannah, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure she's over there as well. It's just
they're kind of two peas in a pod.
They are. They travel together.
Yeah.
Like somebody that's like from Europe that had. Anakin Steen, she's here. thought she. Who's the girl that Ben kept? She's British. That Ben kept like bringing up all the time. I can't think of her name.
Not Luke Key.
No.
She's one that kind of plateaued, huh?
A little bit.
Luke Keith Renson.
Oh, it's gonna kill me.
Yeah, she's up there though. We're like looking right now.
Because I don't think she's over here playing at all.
Nope. Tetsy, wasn't it? No, Katie Tetsy. No.
Rachel something?
Yeah, Chrissy Rachel's. It was a girl's name. I remember that.
Swanson.
Samsonite. That's what it
is. Anyway.
Best movie.
Yeah.
It's like one of the. Katie Belty. No.
I don't think so.
But Tiger Borth, I love her name. And I got to hand her disc back to her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she had left it on we were practicing Northwoods. And she had left it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, in a fairway. And I found it. And it was a really cool dyed disc. And I was like, what is this name? What? Tired. Oh, she was like two holes ahead of us. So we just happened to be crossing. I was like, hey, you missing a disc? And she's like, I love you. You're awesome. She had no clue who I was or what I was doing, but she liked her disc, and she said she said something about like good karma or something like that, and then walked away. I was like, that was very kind of you. So no, I don't remember her name. Okay. So you're thinking, so if you had to pick one, so I got Holland Hanley. I'm looking at her name. I wrote it. So I got Holland Hanley. Who are you picking?
I'm gonna say, I forgot who I said before.
You were talking to Owen a little bit, and then you talked a little bit of Psy.
I'm gonna say Missy Gannon.
Gannon, okay.
Yeah,
because I think she's number three right now.
Number three.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. I mean, Missy Gannon's good, and I like her. So. All right. I like it. All right. So
Rachel Turton.
That's what it is. Rachel Turton.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. What's she like in the hundreds? She's way down there, right?
I had to look up. She's at 945.
Oh, that's not bad.
No.
She's pretty young, too. So she's got some time to play. You know, speaking of Purple Prodigy, what was her name again?
Oh, yeah, Heather Young.
Yeah, Heather Young. She never came back, did she?
I think she, not pro tour, but I think she did play like an event or two. Like probably.
She played like Texas States or something like that. Yeah, sort of championship.
I remember seeing something with. I remember seeing a picture of her. Maybe she was there. Maybe she didn't actually play it.
Okay.
I feel like Paige Hsu or somebody like played a tournament with her at one point.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting.
It is interesting because I really honestly thought that she would just be like a little while out and then come back. And
yeah.
No, not at all.
No.
Not at all. Huh. No. For those of you that are new listeners, that was about, when was that, 19? No, because we've only been doing Tuner for 2 years, so. Or 3 years almost.
Yeah, almost.
So maybe 21?
Yeah.
Something like that. She just was like, deuces to Prodigy. And like, I don't want to play anymore. After they put all that marketing behind her. And then she came back the next year and was like, nah, I'm not coming back.
Yeah. Just kind of fell out of love with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Or like, it seemed like she just wanted to explore things outside of
That's what disco. She said. Yeah. She never said she wasn't coming back, but she just said she wanted to be a normal person.
Yeah.
Was that what it was?
Yeah. Something like that.
Well, she's been a normal person. I wonder if people find her at like Chick-fil-A and she's like, my pleasure. And you're like, are you going to play anymore?
Yeah. Right.
You know, she said she was just going to go like be a normal girl and get like a normal job and stuff.
Yeah.
I can see her being a Chick-fil-A person. Tell me.
That's a good high school job.
Right? Well, what about, like, for her? Well, I guess she wasn't that old, was she? Like, 17, 18? Something like that? Okay, so I can see it. You'd be like, oh, my goodness.
Prom this weekend, yeah. Girls.
When are you going to start playing disc golf again? Would you like that with Chick-fil-A sauce or Polynesian? I don't want to talk about this.
But then there's, like, probably people that have no, like, if they ever, you know, like, there's tons of people that don't know that side of her.
Right.
Exactly. You know, like, that's what's crazy. It's like,
yeah.
It probably never gets brought up.
And she was really good, too. Well, she was, I'd say really good.
Yeah.
Can we put really in front of that? Or is it just good?
I don't know. Yeah. She, I mean,
I guess not like, I can't remember.
Not like excellent, but she was really good.
Really good. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So there's like good, really good, and then
I feel excellent. Like, I feel like if you're a pro at anything, you're really good.
True. So because my PDGA card says pro, are you telling me I'm really good?
Sure.
Look at that. I like that. MP40.
I mean, I guess if you're on like the pro tour, you're like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. So I just crushed my feelings a little bit.
Sorry. I mean, you're still really good.
Yeah. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. Should we just end it here while I'm sad? So we went to.
Here goes another 5 months.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to talk about this stuff anymore.
So we went to a Green Bay Blizzard game last night. And
indoor football.
Indoor football, right. Yeah. IFL, the Indoor Football League. And so it's Arena League. We went there, and one of the guys that I invited me caught wind that I tried out and made the team and didn't play. And the owner was in the booth. And then the next thing you know, and I played like just very briefly until I got hurt for the semi-pro team. Didn't make any money. And when you say semi-pro, basically what it is like a bunch of old has-beens that want to play. Mm-hmm. Or they got out of college and didn't have any prospects out of college. And we were all just like, one more time, maybe they'll see us. You know, like, put me in, coach. And hope there's a scout in the stands, you know, one of those deals. And they kept saying stuff. And then the mascot comes in and they start messing with me about like, oh, your mascot wasn't as good as this. I was like, we didn't have a mascot unless you call the drunk girl in the stands. Like, you know. So, but it was pretty fun. It was enjoyable. I really, really, really enjoy arena football.
Yeah.
Like just whether it's IFL, arena, arena two, like any of that genre.
It's just so much more fast paced.
It is.
You know, you got the, was it 50 yard field?
50 yard fields. Yeah. 50 yard fields. The goalposts are like 11 feet wide.
Yeah.
They're super tiny goalposts. Mm-hmm. And think about a hockey arena. What's that giant thing you have right in the center of the state? I mean, arena or a basketball arena. I mean, there's this big jumbotron.
Yeah.
And so when you're doing kickoffs and all that stuff, like that's part of the obstacle. So if you hit that, it's a dead ball. They get it at the 25, oh, which is essentially halfway, the 50, yeah, halfway. And so there's like a lot of these little like nuances. And then you actually have multiple people in motion, and you can have them motion while you're snapping the ball. So mm-hmm. You know how in NFL, like you can have them in motion, but you can only have one person in motion. And
yeah,
technically they have to be on a like trajectory or a, how do they say it? An established route before you can hike the ball.
Yeah.
In arena, like,
yeah,
they can be at a dead sprint.
Right.
And as long as you time
like
it right.
Back at the end zone or something, like yes, sprinting up to the line.
Yes. So they could be on a dead sprint. And as long as you time it before they cross that line of scrimmage. But that, like you think about that, and they have a certain area they have to, they can't go in the line of scrimmage. So there's a certain pocket that they can't mm-hmm. be in. But you think if they're wanting to bounce something outside, like these guys can like play crackbacks on like the offensive crack on, I don't know, like a linebacker, like an outside linebacker or something like that. Someone that's shading the line. They can come full speed sprint and hike it and just like level these guys. But it was pretty cool. So yesterday there was a big injury and it was gross. And they replayed it on the jumbotron three times. But dude like went to pivot and it's like the old school turf.
Yeah.
Dislocated his ankle. His foot was sideways and he like fumbled the ball and then the Blizzard recovered it. Fumbled the ball, grabbed his foot, gross. And you saw his foot just go blop, like popped right back in. And then they played it on, and I saw it, and I was like, ugh. And I'm, like, super sensitive to, like, dislocations because of my shoulders and stuff. So I kind of, like, got the willies. And I was like, did you see that? It dislocated. It's like, oh, it just looked like he rolled it. I was like, no, no. That was a dislocation. And then they re-showed it on the thing, and it was so gross. You've seen it, like, go sideways. And then he, like, grabbed it, and it, like, boop, pops right back in. I was like, ooh.
I've seen that in, like, skate videos.
No, it's so nasty.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, it's so nasty. It still gives me the willies a bit. Because that's your ankle, too. Like, I've rolled an ankle. I can't imagine dislocating it.
No.
Like, ugh.
Good Lord.
Like, how do you even do that?
I don't know.
I don't want to try.
No, don't do it.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah. But that was fun. I don't know why. I don't know how I got there. But anyways. So yeah. So that was last night. That was super amazingly fun. So I was just forget that the Green Bay Blizzard were there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just, they're not marketed well.
No.
At all.
Not really.
And they played the Frisco Fighters from Texas. So it's actually, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
So, and just so you guys know, you get paid $250 a game to play this sport. It's not enough money.
No.
Because like, these guys, like, so you get, I don't know how many games there are, like, currently in the league, and, like, how many games each team plays. But then you got, like, mandatory practices, mandatory weight training. You know, I'm sure there's, like video time and playbook mm-hmm. time and all that stuff. Like, how do you survive?
I don't know.
Like, they live in the dumpsters out back, like, in the arena or what? Like, man. But that's pretty cool, though. So, yeah. And then you start soccer pretty soon, huh?
Yeah.
Is it started yet or?
Tomorrow, first day. Yeah.
Holy moly. Do you have refs yet?
I reached out to a couple people and they're like, hey, yeah, sorry, we can't do it.
No. So I'm like,
still trying to find some people.
Can you like ref with a drone? Can you be like in the center of the field with multiple drones?
And you just like that'd be pretty sweet. Like I can imagine like if you could just control a drone or you had somebody control a drone, that'd be so easy to be able to like call off sides or like anything like that. But you still have to have people watching the field like on a field level for fouls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's the hard thing. Like you have to be able to have that human element to watching.
So you would have up to three games going at once, right?
Have up to three games going at once.
Good. Is that what you have to kind of account for?
Like we, not at once.
Okay.
Generally we have like maybe two or three games a night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So then that's not too bad. They don't have them like, you're not like having to watch little kids and big kids. And
no,
like, they're not doing that stuff. Okay. Okay. For some reason, I always thought there were like two or three games at a time.
No, I don't know. I have to look at this. I have to look at the schedules cause I have to make them up for reffing. So I was like, I hope that's not the case. Cause
that would suck.
Yeah.
Yes. It makes you for a long night anyways, but then especially if you're trying to watch two games.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get the people, you don't even have to be there really. I mean, well you do, but like,
no, I don't. So like last year I was a coach for Dempsey's team U15,
mm-hmm.
but I was also in charge of refs. So we were short refs. So I ended up actually having to ref coach games I was supposed to coach. And there's a number of some like high school or like kids older that actually like helped coach.
Mm-hmm.
Cause they're like, yeah, I don't want to ref, but I'll sit on the sidelines and like put guys in for you and stuff. I was like, okay, great. This doesn't work.
And they get paid for it, right?
No, coaching's volunteer.
No, I was talking for
reffing. Yeah.
It's weird. Umping, reffing, like for basketball or soccer. Like it's so hard to find people.
It is.
Until you get into like actual like junior high or.
Yeah.
Well, I guess.
Because a lot of those sports, I don't know how it works with the WIAA, how they like choose or like
mm-hmm.
weed out, you know, because they supply coaches for everything.
Right. Refs for everything. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Refs. Sorry.
Yeah.
Not coaches.
Well, and I know it's not a bad rate. Like if you're like head ref or something like that, you get like $90 a game and it's like 60
for an hour.
Yeah. I was thinking to myself like, man, that wouldn't be a bad gig. Like,
yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like I'd be that guy that would get the parents all ruffled mm-hmm. all the time.
For sure. So,
did I tell you about the time I almost got kicked out of a basketball game?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So I almost got kicked out of a seventh grade girls basketball game. And for one comment, I was completely silent almost the entire game. So it was this really kind of weird call. It was there's a no pressing rule.
Yeah.
But
except for the final 2 minutes.
Except for the final 2 minutes. And or if the coach says, if both coaches agree.
Yeah.
Like, no big deal.
Right.
So something happened basically with the – it was within the final 2 minutes, and then Gibraltar got called on press. Or excuse me, Gibraltar was called – or excuse me, the team that they were playing was called on press, mm-hmm. and Gibraltar had the ball.
Okay.
And so they called the press, and then the other coach went ballistic. And then somehow the ref gave the ball back to the team that pressed.
Oh.
And I was like, wait, that was Gibraltar's ball. And – like the whole stands were going crazy, but yeah. I just happened to be pretty close to the ref. And she goes, no, it wasn't. And like, she kind of went on and I go, so this is what I said. I go, it's okay to be wrong.
And it almost got you kicked out.
She looked right at me and she goes, if you say another word, I'm kicking you out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't hear her say that.
Yeah. Someone told you?
Yeah. My wife was like, what did you say to her? And I was like, why? What just happened? You know, because I just said it's like, it's okay to be wrong. Yeah. And then I kind of went back and watched the game, you know. I almost got kicked out. So it was one of those little fun things. Because, no, it was Malachi that looked at me and goes, she almost kicked you out. I was like, really? She goes, yeah. And then Sandy's like, yeah, she said she'd kick you out. I was like, oh, man.
I said something one game during basketball season this year. And this was like, you're going to get kicked out if you keep talking. I was like, same situation. It was like something stupid. I was like, hey, if you're not going to call it, like.
Right.
I don't know.
And it's okay. Like, if you're a ref and you make a mistake, if you're a ref listening to this, you make a mistake, like, it's okay to be like, ah, my bad. Let me get the ball back. Like, yeah. I called that wrong. It's fine. I mean, if you're halfway through the game and it's like 20 minutes later that that happened. But if you're making a call within that main time, like, it's okay. Yeah. It's okay to be wrong. We all make mistakes.
Yeah. Definitely made a few.
Yeah. 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 I've never reffed before because I couldn't do it. Like, it's hard for me to even watch now.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not that it's hard. It's just like, I see certain things, but I miss like so many other things. I just don't think about them or know about them, you know? I'm sure if I had to go through the training, but.
Yeah, it's hard to be unbiased when your kid's playing.
I bet it is.
Yeah.
I bet it is. Yeah, because I could imagine if I was like an ump for my daughter pitching or something, like the strike zone would be, it'd be like a 4x8 sheet of plywood. Yeah, I could understand that. But that's why I don't coach my kids either. Like, I'll coach them outside, but like I won't be a coach for their team.
Yeah.
Because I know I can't do it because I know what they can do, you know, and it's just one of those like, I'll just give you a chance. Like, nah, I'm not going to be that guy. Mm. I'm not going to be like, hey, you're really good, but that's my daughter, so we're going to put her in, you know. So anyways, anything else?
We can just go over the.
Oh, yeah, OTB.
OTB.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
Yeah. Well, while you're holding on, go out and watch If, the movie If with Ryan Reynolds. And for the listeners out there, go watch If. It's really good. I actually cried in the movie theater, just so you know. Pretty emotional dude. And my daughter looked over at me and she goes, you're ridiculous. And I said, you're crying too. Leave me alone. And then my son was just laughing.
Oh.
He's laughing at us.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good though.
Why are you guys doing that?
Yeah, what are you guys crying for? Dude, it's really touching. Did you ever have an imaginary friend?
No, I don't think I did. Like, I had baby blankets and things like that, but I don't think I really had an imaginary friend.
I never did either. And I talked to my wife, and she never had an imaginary friend. Did you ever know anybody that had an imaginary friend?
I don't know. I can't really.
It seems like it's one of those things in lore that, like, you would assume everybody has an imaginary friend. I don't know if I've ever met anybody that, well, or is it one of those like Vegas things? Like, you don't talk about it?
Maybe. Because people think you're crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never had one.
I don't know.
Maybe I can make one up.
Yeah.
I'll let you know how it goes. Update on the next podcast.
multiple personalities. Like, yeah. That's kind of...
If you were to have an imaginary friend, what would it be? I've never even thought about it.
I don't know.
I feel like mine would be like an ego, like an alternate, not alternate, like maybe multiple personality. Is that the best one? Because I think I would need him for certain things.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't want like the super caring, funny guy when like I'm getting ready to eat another piece of pizza. Like I want that like drill sergeant, like you're fat, put it down. You know,
that's not a friend.
You know what I mean? Well, yeah, it is. Sure. Okay, sure it is. Right. Yeah. He'd give me a hug afterwards if I put it down. If not, he would like yell at me more.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like mine would be an animal or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gorilla, sloth.
Yeah. Like the Planet of the Apes guy, Caesar.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be, it'd be a good one. Or maybe Kevin Hart. Like, I think just having a Kevin Hart around, like, he seems like the coolest guy in the world.
I'm not a fan of
him. You don't like Kevin Hart? No. Oh, he just got the Mark Twain, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They just did a big thing, like Chappelle, like, all, like, Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld, like, everybody was there, celebrating. It was crazy. It's on Netflix, I think.
Sometimes there's things that I like about him, and then there's other times I'm like, what the heck?
Well, he's kind of like Rock's mini-me, you know? Like, yeah. Dr. Evil had mini-me. What's his name?
Vern Troyer,
yeah. Yeah, so Mike Myers had Vern Troyer, yeah. And, like, The Rock has Kevin Hart.
True.
So I think, you know, that's how it is.
Yeah.
I think that's how it is. Kevin Hart probably made a little more money than Vern.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit. I would think so. Yeah. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, sorry. So, winning OTB Open for the MPO was Calvin Heimberg. Mm-hmm. Second place, Gavin Rathbone. Third place, Randon Latta. Fourth, Gavin Babcock. Fifth, he tied with Sullivan Tipton. Then Ricky Wysocki and Ezra Aderhold. And then Ezra Robinson, Zach Nash, and Garrett Guthrie. I was going to say Guthrie. Okay, it's been a while since I've read these names. Yeah. Round out the top 10. Did you know Paul Macbeth actually was leading after the first round?
Was he?
Yeah, minus 10.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
And Adam Hamas, minus 10, first round.
Mr. Hamas. Huh? Yeah. He didn't even finish top 10?
No.
Neither of them did.
No. Adam Hamas actually played a very... They both played very terrible second rounds. I don't know exactly what happened, but I saw Adam had a tweet or a post about it saying how awful he played. And he's like, well, there's always round three. And then have you seen Drew Gibson, I think, ended up missing a tee time. He was late by like 5 seconds.
5 seconds.
Yeah, and they docked him 2 strokes. This has happened to somebody. This happened to Ricky, I think, too.
Earlier. Yes. Yes.
He was late, and they cost him a strokes.
And there
a
was the strokes. Big tee time gate last year with, I think it was Adam Hamas. Wasn't it?
No. Shoot. I thought it was Luke Humphreys.
Oh, it was Luke Humphreys. It was a disc golfer. But they did that. And there was like this big deal about it because I think it was Luke Humphreys. I think you're right. Because he was talking about it on some podcast. I remember some podcast he was talking about.
Well, it's a big deal because like he got there late and then they're playing. And I think Jeff Spring ended up popping up.
Came up to him during round.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And said, hey, we're going to have to.
Or the TD or something like
yes,
that.
Yes.
Yes. Or no, right. It wasn't Jeff Spring. It was.
Jaqua.
No, it was Nate.
Heinold, you're right.
It was Heinold.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. I remember it was somebody in a big position. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. Okay. So
he was late in their dock. So what's the new rule? Basically, you have to be there
You have to be there 5 minutes before your tee time, like on the tee, ready to go before.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's not even like, you know, you're already 5 minutes early for your tee time, like mm-hmm. you're late by like 5 seconds, but you're still early, which yes. is like ridiculous.
Yes. Agreed. Agreed. And I understand because in pro tours and stuff, you always want to go over, like there's always that pre-round, like, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is the things you got to watch for. They give you the little kind of little rules recaps. But like, seriously, I know it's the rules. They got to play. Like that's all they got to do is pay attention to being there when they're supposed to be there and play and don't break these tiny little rules. But God, it seems petty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Excuse me.
I don't know. But I guess if you showed up 5 seconds late to a race, you know, you'd just be 5 seconds behind everybody, you know?
Well, like, it's like, oh, I think it was two tournaments ago, Nico ended up getting par plus four for like a round.
Oh my goodness. I think an entire round.
I think so.
Wow. Okay.
I'm not positive, but I remember seeing somebody posted it on Disc Golf Reddit. He was like, someone had a bad day or like bad round. And like, you look at him like, holy cow. Like he was like he was plus 84 for the round or something like that. I was like, no way.
It's like 72 or whatever it is.
Yeah. Whatever. Like it's possible. Like,
yeah.
Different time zone. Like what happened? Crazy.
Nico happened. He slept in. He, I don't know, got lost in his van or who knows. Yeah. Him and Cat Merch are back together, right?
Yeah, as far as I know. They seem...
Well, that's good.
They had a dog together or something. Yeah. Traveling around. Yeah. Those crazy kids.
Yeah, I heard he was doing like Avon or something like that out of the back. Some multi-level marketing, you know. Is he still with Lone Star?
Yeah.
They are? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
did you hear that podcast with Josh that we did, Bobby and I did?
Yeah, I watched it, or I heard it, yeah.
Yeah. I won't say it, but you should have heard some of the off-camera stuff. That was, I'm just blown away.
Oh, I'm sure. At
some of that stuff. Like, and it's one man's side. Like, it's one side of the story.
That's what I was going to bring up. Is like, I would love to hear what... like Terry or like someone from Lone Star has to say about mm-hmm. the situation. So I don't know. Is it like, does it say more about them by not saying anything? Or is it like they're not even defending themselves because they know they're so wrong?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's hard. So I've been I've done the employer-employee thing and sometimes things just... for better or worse, maybe they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing in your eyes. And maybe you, like, so for instance, there is one individual that I can really distinctly say that we've had something like this happen where we were poor leaders. We did not tell the person that he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do, didn't give him a chance to fix it, and we just let him go.
Mm-hmm.
He thought we just booted him to the curb, you know, and he was doing great, never said anything.
Uh-huh.
I get it, you know.
Yeah.
And would I say anything about it? Like if he started trashing us, like I wouldn't defend myself because I was in the wrong. So I could see that.
Okay.
Yeah. I could see that. But who knows, you know, there's a reason why everybody left so quickly and in such big numbers.
Yeah.
You know, because it was just kind of like a mass exodus. Mm-hmm. And I know it was during our break. I don't know if you were paying attention too much, but there was quite a few people that left.
It was.
And not just players, but like staff.
But the weird thing too, Chandler Kramer left.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and it was the same time. Chandler left. Mm-hmm. Josh left.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa Fakus left.
Yeah. There were, I think, three or four staff guys that left.
Okay.
Same time.
But the weird thing was Chandler Kramer decided to go back.
Yes.
And I was just like, what?
Yep.
Like, that's a shock. Like, obviously, he's like... he's still kind of considered like open bag. Like he has other sponsors. Mm-hmm. He's got Maria mm-hmm. and he's got, I think, you know, a couple other people. I was like, why would you go back? But someone's like, well, he can't travel with Robert Burge if he's not Team Lone Star or something like that. That's what I had heard. And I was like, that makes
the
most ridiculous sense.
Yep. Yep. So that was a post that was given to us or that was shared with me that Lone Star's part of Team Lone Star's touring team is you can't tour with anybody that's not Lone Star.
That's so wild.
And that was put out after Kramer left.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's a little suspicious. You know, that's like, so.
Because they toured together all last year together and like everything. It was just like, oh.
Yeah. And what sense does it make? Like, are you going to pay these guys to travel alone? Because it makes it so much easier when two guys travel together because they can share the expenses, right? So are you going to pay them more? You know, like, there's all those questions that I had in the back end. I'm just like, no way. Like, there is no way that this is being done not spitefully.
Right? Yeah.
Is that an appropriate word? Spitefully?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
It gets the point across, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's a real word or not, but like, there's no way it's not like you don't have your tube of Vagisil. Like, that's the only reason that you do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not the only reason. Maybe there's something that I don't understand, but like, I don't know. Maybe you're giving all these guys budgets. Like, maybe you gave Chandler Kramer a budget to travel. I don't know. Or whoever, Burrage.
Yeah.
You know, the budget to travel. Like, I don't know. But the things that I heard, it all sounded to be very petty stuff.
Mm.
Like, very petty stuff. Very reactionary, emotional, like, not leading from a point of, I don't know, consistency or, yeah, I guess maybe just a point of consistency. I won't go any further. I don't know. It seems bad. But all speculation. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what it really is. So.
Right.
All right. Well, we did it.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to go over FP real quick.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
So, yeah. Let's see. Ella Hansen won her first Elite Series event.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that's for her.
She battled it out with Holland and Kat Merch. Mm-hmm. Owen came in fourth. Paige Pierce was going for the four-peat. She ended up in fifth. Ankenstein, sixth. Madison Walker, seventh. Jessica Weath, eighth. And then tied for ninth was Natalie Ryan, Missy Gannon, Stacey Kiefer, and Hannah Wynn. So that rounds out the top 10.
Very nice. And Madison Walker and Weiss up there.
Yeah.
Good for them. Good for them. It's a good course for them, too, because it's controls. Like, a lot of controlled spots, especially for the, you know, the FPO. A lot of low ceilings, a lot of corridors you got to hit. So I like it. Is there any Fox P this year? Did you know?
Not that I know of.
Okay. That's too bad. It would have been cool to see.
Love me some Fox P.
Yeah. I feel like that's like a once in a lifetime thing. Unless there's like random people that play that course all the time and that's just like the thing that Fox does. Right.
But see a disc, get it.
I'm like, ooh, it's a disc P. So, well, any inspiring words to leave us on?
I'm tired.
Me too. These children. Hey, we could leave on something else this time.
What's that?
It would be deuces in a diaper. Oh. Because that's what I'm dealing with right now.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's it. Yeah. So other than that, man, keep us up par. Appreciate you coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I had fun tonight.
It was fun.
And hopefully we'll have another next week.
Yeah.
And if not, we'll see you in 5 months. Peace.